Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello. This is Elizabeth Townsend-Gard from Just Wanna Quilt. I am a law professor. This is a research podcast. And we are reading Just Wanna Create, Copyright and Fair Use Strategies by myself, Elizabeth Townsend-Gard. And we are reading today Chapter 4. Chapter 4 is actually pretty short, so we'll see how long it takes. I'm really surprised it's super duper short. So Chapter 4, if you've missed the other ones, go back and see them. This is, we're reading the book this semester and this season for 2023 of Just Wanna Quilt, a research podcast about quilting and right now copyright. Okay, here we go. Chapter 4, 7 key concepts. Basic terms every creative should know. Ready? Okay, copyright can be complicated. Let's learn a few key concepts that every quilter should know. In this chapter, we're going to walk through 7 of these concepts before diving into how copyright is created, what gets protected, and what to do when you believe someone has infringed your work. In many ways, copyright is a system that provides boundaries of use. Who gets to do what and when with a creative work? We're going to start thinking about each work, every kind of work, having these boundaries, and we need to be able to identify what boundaries apply. We have big concepts that will help us understand the boundaries of what we can do with creative work. First sale doctrine, doctrine of functionality, and aesthetic non-discrimination. These are paired with boundaries that are particularly important for copyright law itself. Copyright versus public domain, infringement versus permissible uses, and idea expression being the three key. So that's what we're going to look at. Let's look at first sale first. First sale doctrine. If you purchase fabric, a book, a pattern, you own the physical copy. You can do many things, write in it, resell it, lend it to a friend, make a quilt, or even throw it away. The copyright holder does not control the physical copy after that first sale. But first sale also does not allow you to make copies of the book or the pattern. You can't copy your purchase and then give the copy to a friend. That violates the exclusive right to copy and distribute under the U.S. Copyright Act. Again, first sale allows you to do what you want to do with that physical object you bought, that version, but not to make copies. Example, as part of our project, we ripped up Pat Sloan and Jane Davidson's splendid sampler book and sent it different pages with patterns to people to make 6.5-inch squares. This was first sale doctrine in action. You can rip them up. Now, we couldn't copy the back of the pattern. We couldn't photocopy it. That would be not cool. But we could rip it up and send different parts to different people all over the country. And we did. And we had to actually buy a couple of books to do that. And then people made the squares, and then they sent them to us. It was awesome. First sale doctrine does not apply to digital copies. First sale does not include digital copies. First sale does not apply to any digital copy. You can't email or make a copy of a PDF for a friend. There's no first sale. Rather, it's seen as a license, like software, and first sale does not include making a copy, which is what would have happened if you gave someone a digital copy of that file, whether in an email or printing it out. No sharing of digital copies. So, do you think we purchased a paper or a Kindle copy of Splendid Sampler? You've got it. We got a physical copy of the book. We had to. If we had gotten a Kindle copy, we couldn't have done that. We couldn't have physically ripped it up and sent it to a bunch of people. But also, it would have been illegal. And we're not about that. That's not cool. That's kind of why I have a little bit of hard time saying, like, well, what can you do with the digital copy you're getting for a really great price of $25? Because we hadn't really put the digital copy, we wouldn't have put the digital copy out had COVID not happened. But because of COVID and we couldn't mail things out, we did that. So, you know, we ask you not to share the digital copy with your friends because of first sale doctrine, that it doesn't have a license, it's a license to have that PDF. Now we could change it, we'll talk about, like, we could change it, we could have Creative Commons license on it, all kinds of other things. But the idea is that to get you used to the idea that if you create a digital copy, a PDF, if you purchase that, you're not supposed to share it with your friends. You're not supposed to make a whole bunch of copies and send them out. Now, the reality is, in our ridiculous world, how easy it is to take the PDF and send it to a bunch of people, or to take it and print it off a bunch of times. So technology is in this really funny space of how easy is it to just make copies of a PDF? So easy. And yet the law itself says you can't do that. And so it becomes a moral dilemma of how are you going to break the law? Are you not? Are there copyright police checking on whether you have made a copy of Just Want to Create and sent it off to your friends? No, but, you know, that's what the pattern makers are freaking out about, is that, you know, they make a whole bunch of stuff, they make a digital copy, and then only one person buys it, and like 100 people in a quilt guild make it, and they have lost that economic value, and they have a very Lockean labor feeling about it. See chapter 3 if you don't understand this. And that's the problem. That's the bind. That is the problem that we have. And so, you know, I keep saying to people, fungible, fungible, fungible. Physical copies are easier, even if I can rip up a copy and make a bunch and give it to a bunch of people. It's less fungible, less easy for us to copy than a digital file. And digital files, ironically, are not protected by first sale. Okay. First sale is super important concept for copyright. First sale allows us to do many things with physical things that with the book, including sending different parts to people throughout the country. We did not make any copies at all. We would send 2 to 3 patterns to an individual to avoid such copyright infringement. First sale, again, is super important for copyright. You couldn't have used bookstores or resell your car, which has copyrighted software, without it. You couldn't bring magazines to a quilt guild meeting for recycling. And you couldn't rip up a book and send pieces of it to different people to make quilts. Nope, that's for sale. Doctrine of functionality. Copyright does not protect functional things. Patents do. That includes techniques, methods, math, and steps. You learn to do something in class. You can teach others. You can use it yourself. Techniques and methods are not protectable, but the expression of that technique is protectable. The handout or the book describing the technique is likely under copyright. This includes a recorded class, like we're recording right now, or a YouTube video. That is protected under copyright. So Willow, who is our guest recently, is making a new YouTube channel, and she's showing people how to use AccuQuilt dies. That the die isn't protectable, and her technique for fussy cutting isn't protectable, but their little video is. Her way of putting it together, her selection, arrangement, coordination, and that video is protected by copyright. You can't take notes of a lecture and then publish or post them without permission. Or worse, secretly record a session and post it on the internet. That's covered by anti-bootlegging laws and the teacher exception. That's someone else's intellectual property. And again, the expression is protected, not the technique or the method itself. And we've actually seen this as an issue with quilt classes and craft classes. You cannot take the notes of that class and teach that class the way that in that same manner. The methods, yes. The expression, no. Does that make sense? Why? And there's a special law called the teacher exception that gives those the expression of those what you're teaching, the copyright gives it to the teacher itself. It goes all the way to Blackstone, all the way back. It's a whole thing. It's one of the first things I wrote about as a young, I wasn't even a law professor, I was still a law student. It was part of why how I got my job was looking at the teacher exception and whether it survived or not into the 20th century, in the late 20th century, 2000s. Okay, number three, aesthetic non-discrimination. Copyright law does not judge. Really, it does not judge. Whether it is a two-year-old's drawing or a great work of art, copyright law does not judge. I was giving a lecture at QuiltCon, and I asked which of my quilts would qualify for protection, and a snippy woman in the audience said, none. Clearly, she didn't like my quilts. But she was wrong. They may not be protected for other reasons, but aesthetics is not one of them. Four, limited times. Copyright lasts for, quote, limited times. It's in the Constitution. That's the exact phrase from the U.S. Constitution. The exact amount of time has varied over the last 230-plus years in the U.S. At first, the term was 14 years, and if the author was still alive, another 14 years. That was the 1790 Act. The term increased over time. The 20th century is a particularly messy period. We'll talk more about that later. Now the term is the life of the author plus 70 years, and if it's anonymous or a work for hire, 120 years from creation or 95 years from publication, whichever is shorter. Again, more later. This is a long, long time. But once the term is over, and this varies again through history and even with works that we might want to use today, the work is in the public domain. Today, this term arises automatically as everything we make, but to get that term, the work has to qualify for protection, and we'll discuss this more shortly. Now, limited times is a name of one of the companies we have, and duration is how I made my name as a professor. So I know a lot about copyright duration, and it can get really complicated, and it depends on 1,000 different factors, and we can talk about that. And we have a book, oh yes, all I did was write during COVID. So we have a good book called The Durationator Copyright Files, I think it's called that, which talks about all of it. And it's a 200 or 300 page book that talks about how you determine copyright status, whether it's sound recordings or foreign works. It's complicated. So that is its own special subject. And again, what I made my career on before I got obsessed with quilts. And the versus the public domain. A work must qualify for copyright, and if it does, copyright protection arises automatically. But not everything is protectable. Many things are not. We'll talk about that soon. Some are out of copyright. The copyright has expired. Some things never could meet the requirements. So we have to know what qualifies when we're using works, and that in turn gives us more confidence and freedom as creators. And this is pretty cool. This is kind of why I started the quilting project, is because I wanted to understand the non-protectable elements in quilting, including blocks and old quilts and other things. And so we'll talk about that in great detail. Also, Willow Olson and I are doing a project about reverse engineering public domain quilts that are in museums. And that is our Just Want a Reverse Engineering project that we will be debuting and talking to you about soon. And we've been working on like maniacs for like 2 years. So again, thinking through what's protectable and what's not protectable is one of the things we'll be talking about in this book, but also with our hands-on practical project, which is super duper exciting. Number six, infringement versus permissible uses. You create something, you post it. Then you find someone else has swiped your pattern and is claiming it as their own. We have mechanics to deal with that. We'll talk about that. Notice and takedown and other things. But there's also permissible uses. Fair use, library uses, and others. The rights in copyright are not absolute. We'll learn more about those rights and the limitations of them in the book. Number seven, last one, it's exciting. Number seven, copyright does not protect ideas. I have an idea for a new fabric line with fruit. It's not that protectable. Kay Fassett creates a fabric line with oranges. That specific pattern is protectable, but it doesn't keep others from making other fabric with fruit or even oranges. The idea is not protectable. The question is one of degree. When does someone else's expression of my idea to start to infringe on your version? We will look to the levels of abstraction test. It's a specific test from a specific case to figure it out. But it's not easy. And courts struggle with this too. The next chapter will take a deeper dive on that. So we can see that, like, in the book we have different pictures of fruit fabric. And they look different. And there's some oranges and there's some lemons and a whole bunch of different things. Now you know some basic concepts. You understand theories. You recognize that economics and attribution are important. And now we're going to start from the beginning again, this time walking step by step through copyright to understand what is not protectable, what is protectable. And then we'll look at the rights and right statements, copyright notice, infringement, permissible uses, and fair use. Finally, we'll look at strategies in different creative scenarios. Okay, your turn. What kinds of legal information can you find directed to people who engage in art and culture? Can you find things on the internet that tell you about all these basic concepts? If you find them, come post and talk about them on the Just Want to Quote Facebook page. Go find interesting articles and come talk to us about it. Do they get it right? Do they not? What do they think are the most important things? Do they have 7 in their list? Do they have 10, 20? So that's the challenge for today. If you find something, come post it at Just Want a Quilt and let's talk about what you find. What kind of list are they making for quilters, for sewists, for creative people on terms of copyright and what they think is really, really important? And that's it. Look at 16 minutes. Oh my gosh, 16 minutes. You found seven of the basic topics of copyright. That is all we have. So next time we'll do chapter 5, the idea before copyright begins, and we're just going to keep moving through it. I hope you're enjoying this. I really do. It's been fun to read it out loud. We have got a long way to go. I'm not going to tell you how many chapters there are. We've got a ways to go. And so that's it. This has been Elizabeth Townsend-Gard. I've been reading from Just Want to Create, Copyright and Fair Use Strategies, which is available for digital download down in the notes. We also have a really awesome book out there. Just want to trademark for makers is available for pre-order at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It'll be out in September. Incredible. September 2023. That's written, co-authored with my, with Sid Gard. So insanely privileged to be working with them. And that's it. That's it for today. So we will be back to do chapter 5 shortly.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumba.
ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.